Welcome and thank you for listening to today's episode of the Auburn Daily Podcast. It's your host Alex, aka Auburn Memes. Joining me today is writer for Auburn Daily, Andrew Stefaniak, and we are going to have a little chit chat today about the LSU game coming up for Auburn and talk about some of the fan narratives and really break down what fans should realistically, and I want to emphasize that word, realistically expect going into this game in Baton Rouge. There's been a whole bunch of narratives out there about this, what people are thinking and maybe borderline hoping might happen. And we're going to break some of that down. So Andrew, let's jump right into it. What have been some things you've been seeing that fans are starting to think, see, or maybe talking themselves into, good or bad, with this matchup against LSU this weekend?
You know, looking at some score predictions that we saw from the tweet that we're going to talk about, I was a little surprised. I was reading through it. I've seen a lot of Auburn fans having the, hey, we're going to hang with anybody. Every time I see a score predictions tweet, and a lot of fans are saying, hey, you know what? We're beating Georgia. We're beating A&M. We're beating everybody. It seems like this LSU game, the fans are kind of stepping back to the, they're leaning LSU in this game. And it's just, look at the history of this game. Look at the history of it. This is a tough place. It took Bo Nix against a not great LSU team a few years ago to finally snap the streak in Baton Rouge. It's a tough place to play. An atmosphere that's up there with some of the best in the SEC, some of the best in college football. So speaking of the, you know, the fan narratives, I think a lot of fans are optimistic, but it doesn't seem like people think that Auburn's going to go in and pull off this upset.
Right. I mean, you can't be stated enough that minus the heroic effort of Brian Harsin 2 years ago in Baton Rouge, that really, let's be honest, and that was some backyard bow stuff and a horrendously in the hole LSU program that Brian Kelly's done a good job of pulling them out of fairly quickly. So I mean, you date back now, you go back to 1999 when Cole Kublik ripped that cigar in the middle of the field famously. And then after that, it's just been, I hate to use this word here, but it's been cursed. It seems like every time Auburn is in it or it's close or anything, just something weird happens. You go back to 05, John Vaughn missing all those field goals. And then I don't even want to talk about this game. And I'm not going to say this was a cursed game, but just some of the worst performances of Auburn. 2015, when just Fournette went crazy on Auburn. Jeremy Johnson throws the ball behind his back. Just everything went wrong. And that just kind of seems to be that's what happens with these games, especially in this place. Do we have a reason to feel like it's going to look better today? Well, let's check out the spread. Well, it's about 11.5 right now. That's kind of where Vegas has been putting it. Maybe books got a little bit more. Some might have a little bit less. But for the most part, that seems to be where it's hanging. So Vegas thinks this is going to be a 10-plus point loss for Auburn. Now, jumping into this tweet, Zach Blackerby sent it out with a nice graphic of what do fans think the score prediction is going to be Saturday. And we got some stuff all over the place. So I want to kind of jump in here and see some of the more pessimistic people. And I want to start with the LSU wins here. I'm not going to say any names, but I'm seeing one right here to where a lot of people think it's coming out of the wire. I'm seeing a 30-35, 34-22. And then I'm in a hot Auburn section right now, 31-24. So what are you hearing right here, the common denominator of this, 31-20? It sounds like a lot of people think this is going to be a fairly high-scoring game. And I'm not going to say necessarily for LSU, but a lot of people think Auburn is going to be able to confidently get this game up into the 20s. And even those folks who think Auburn can win the game, most of these scores are somewhere in the mid to high 20 mark. Someone had a 42-13, which honestly, that was closer to my score prediction, 32-13 LSU. So let's get into that. Auburn scored in the mid-20s, 24-27 range. Do you think that is reasonably possible or to be expected?
You don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy. I like to think of myself as a 24-7 sunshine pumper, but today's just not that day. Today's not that day, and I'm going to tell you why. Look last week at the LSU-Missouri game, right? Look at that. They have a good running back over there in Missouri, the Schrader, right behind Ray Davis of Kentucky in the SEC when it comes to yards on the ground. Missouri ran the ball 21 times for a 116, 5.5 a carry. But you know what that tells me when I look at this? if you're running it that well and you only throw it 21 times, why is that? Because to keep up with LSU, you have to throw the football. Cook had 47 passing attempts against the LSU Tigers last Saturday. Of course, Missouri falls short. LSU wins this one by 10 points. But I think establish the run all you want. Auburn's going to want to establish the run. You want your running backs going. You want to get the ball moving on the ground. But you're going to have to throw it to win this football game. I've talked about it. As good as I think Auburn's defense is, as good as this defense is, LSU is going to score points. You might hold them to not the normal offensive production we see from an LSU this year, 210 on the ground, 337 a game through the air. So 210 on the ground, 337 through the air for this LSU team per game. Per game. That is not on. That is per game. This team's going to move the football. Auburn might hold them back from what we've seen them do so far this year on defense, but you're not going to stop them. You might be able to hold them back a little bit, so you're going to have to score points. Can Peyton Thorne do it? That's what this game's going to come down to. Even when you're running the football, you're going to have to throw it some. You're going to have to create big plays, and it's going to come down to Peyton Thorne throwing the football. Something about it. Get into a Sunshine Pumpy take on this beautiful day we have here today. You could argue, I've heard this narrative a lot within the fan base of, hey, you had a week, 2 weeks to prepare for LSU. You don't generally have 2 weeks to prepare for a team unless it's a bowl game or your first game of the year. You had a couple weeks to prepare for LSU. Does that mean they found a game plan that could work to use Peyton Thorne's arm and to use this running back room? It's going to be interesting, but you're going to have to score to win this game. Can Auburn do that? I lean toward no, but I'm hoping they can.
So a take on that, and you said a very interesting point there about how they set up and the situation became that Missouri had to pass the ball to keep up with LSU. That was just what the situation came down to. They were rushing the ball effectively, but just the game got out from under them to where that was not going to keep them in the game. They had to air it out, and obviously going for 411 yards in the air is not too bad. So what does that story tell us right here? Well, you heard it before, and that's where I think a lot of this optimism is coming from, is LSU secondary, not so great. But let us not be reminded here, there's another secondary that's not super great right now either in the SEC West, and that was A&M's. So the problem there, away game, bad secondary, Auburn was not able to capitalize on that. Guys were getting open. That was a sole problem of Peyton Thorne was not getting the ball to them. So the issue that I see there is the opportunity is most definitely going to be there versus this secondary. You look at, I think, a comparable game to really look into here as well is going to be Arkansas, because the defense had gotten torched. Well, you play Missouri's offense is not bad. Ole Miss's offense is very high power too. They combined for over 100 points on this. Was it 100? Yeah, they would combine for over 100 points on LSU in 2 weeks. So that's going to make your numbers go down. But also, those are both away, both strong offenses. Let's look at Arkansas. Now, Arkansas, KJ Jefferson, they got talent on the offensive side. Now, I think Arkansas has been falling short from where people were wanting it to be. But if you just look at this game specifically, a similar story here where Arkansas had to pass for more than they rushed. It was a little bit more balanced. It was 289 in the air, and it was 137 on the ground, and the average there was 3.7. So they kept Arkansas a little bit more grounded, literally, on the ground, but it was a high-scoring game. And the thing here, too, is that Arkansas's most points were in the fourth quarter. And it seems to be, once again, it got to air the ball out. That seems to be where LSU is vulnerable. So I don't have the play-by-play in front of me right now, but it seems that when teams are starting to kind of play the ground game versus LSU, it ends up having to go to the air, which is where they are the most vulnerable thus far. But the issue is that's where Auburn has been the weakest in establishing. So that's going to be the key to this game. I have said, and I think it really should be there, and I'm not going down on this, do what they did last year on LSU. Come out of the gate swing and air the ball out immediately. They did that with Robbie Ashford. Nobody saw that coming, and Robbie was able to get some big deep balls on him early. I think LSU and everybody thinks, oh, well, Auburn's going to run the ball. They're going to set the run up. They've been running well. Great statistical running in the SEC. Dare them to throw it. I think if they took the bait and said, hey, we will do that, and they establish it early, it's probably going to catch LSU off guard a little bit, and maybe you can get that established so you don't have to continue to bank on your receivers and quarterbacks having that chemistry and have them warm up and get ready to go when the game's down on the wire, hearts are pounding out of the chest, and everything's on the line to make these plays. And you kind of saw it with Georgia. Well, so our balls hit guys in the hands, and just there was something, it just wasn't, it was almost clicking, but everything just wasn't quite there. Well, it's because you didn't pass the ball hardly at all in there early in the game. That's an opinion. I am no coach, but I think there's some data here that packs that backs this up, because you said the LSU offense is going to score. That offense is, I want to say it's close to about 100 yards short of where LSU was in 2019 with six games in. So this offense is right up there with some of the best that not only LSU's ever seen, but the conference. They're doing crazy numbers. And I think the crazier part of that is Daniels isn't even really in the Heisman race in the sense of, hey, he should be in the Heisman race. But like, if you look at the official Heisman predictors and trackers, he's not there. And I think people need to see this caliber of talent across the board of like, hey, this is a really, really good player. And also too, he's got a little bit of a, he got a little bit of a dual threat factor that Auburn hasn't really gone up against. So everybody's hyping the defense and stopping the run and all these other things. But how is Auburn going to handle Daniels if he takes off with his legs?
That's what is concerning in a game like this, is balance. Balance is a common, is one of those cliche terms you hear thrown around when talking about football all the time. But you look at this, this LSU offense is balanced. He can, they can beat you on the ground. Jaden Daniels can beat you with his arm. They've got neighbors out there playing wide receiver. I think he's the best receiver in college football up there with Coleman at FSU and Harrison at Ohio State. I mean, this dude is an absolute dog. They can beat you multiple ways. You have to find a way, I think, to shut down one of those things and kind of key in. And so it's like, I look at this, I think that this team is better suited for stopping the passing attack than they are the rushing attack, just based on how talented the secondary is. I know some guys are banged up. It'll be interesting to see who all's out there, who's not out there. But getting some pressure on Jaden Daniels will be nice too. That's one thing Auburn really hasn't had a ton of, is a great pass rush. You lose some, you lose Kite on that defensive line. You don't like losing players on a thin defensive line, but if you could find a way to get some pressure, I think that would help stop this offense. And then you look at LSU's defense. This is one thing talking about being able to keep up with LSU. They haven't gotten a ton of sacks. They're averaging about 1.8 sacks a game right now, which, knowing what Auburn went through against like Texas A&M, it's got to make you feel better about, hey, maybe Thorne can sit in the pocket and find some open receivers. We don't feel great about this LSU secondary. So it'll be interesting to see if Thorne is able to pick those guys apart in the secondary with some time in the pocket. The offensive line is going to have to give it to him. But I think this is a ball game where if you can get LSU unbalanced, you can compete. But they've just been so good at beating teams through the air and on the ground. How do you do that? That's going to be the question.
So I just pulled those numbers up here. So he's the leading, or second leading, excuse me, rusher for their team right now. And I am adjusting this since they've played one extra game than Auburn has. So right now for the season, Diggs has 488 yards rushing. Daniels has 422. If you take away his latest game with Missouri, since, like I said, Auburn's only had five games because of the bye week, he still has 96 more yards of the 96 more yards for the entirety of the season over Jarquez Hunter. And then I guess that would be nearly 98 yards over Thorne, who's Auburn's second leading rusher right now for the entirety of the season. So it's a little bit scary. And the problem there too is padded. Auburn did get a lot of these rushing yards against, you know, Thorne got a lot against Samford. But he put up, Daniels, that is, put up 130 just with his legs against Missouri. He's had some incredibly efficient game, incredibly efficient games running the ball. Against Ole Miss, he put up 99. He put up 64 against Florida State and Mississippi State, and then 36 against Arkansas. And I'm not really gonna factor in what he did against Grambling, because I don't know exactly how long he played that game. It was only 29 yards, but LSU scored 72 points that game. Don't think they were necessarily hurting for offensive production there. So this is something that Auburn hasn't necessarily accounted for. So it really kind of makes you wonder with the game plan, because another thing that's going on here is Falk is getting his first full-blown start, you know, true freshman. I think he has got a great future at Auburn, and this is going to be a massive stage for him. And who knows, maybe it'll be his coming out party and everybody's like, oh my gosh, he is him. But we're not, I mean, Baton Rouge is a tough place for anybody to have a coming out party, sort of, unless you play for LSU. But I'm not going to say what he will or won't do. I'm obviously going to hope for the best. But they've got to get in a, I mean, they got to find a way to get a pass rush. And that's something the team has struggled with. It hasn't, I guess it hadn't been horrific, but Carson Beck, it was hitting Bowers because he had all day to throw in a lot of those plays. Now, obviously Georgia's offensive line is elite. Can't take that away from them. But I don't think I'm starting to hear the pessimism in my voice as I'm trying to spin it any way that I can to try to not just sound like I'm absolutely just raining down gloom on everybody. I don't risk see a way. And I think even Free said it in the freaking press conference. So if you're mad at me for saying it, get mad at him, because he said it first. I don't know what you can realistically do to stop Daniels. And that's where I think people are on this narrative of, oh, our defense is good. Our defense is good. Yes, I think Auburn's defense is good. I think Auburn's defense is better than expected. I think compared to the offense, it's looking even better. And I've said this numerous times, I'm going to say it again. Three of the four Auburn touchdowns that they've had against Power 5 schools came because the defense gave them a short field on a turnover. And the other touchdown came because the defense freaking scored it. So every single offensive touchdown they have gotten in a Power 5 game is because the defense either did it or set them up in a position to do it. Going into LSU thinking that, hey, the defense is going to get us some turnovers in short field, that is not a statistically high probability thing of happening. So Daniels, is there any way that I can't even say, is there any way that Auburn can stop him?
It's one of those games where I don't think stop, you know, is the word. And I think that's kind of this common theme is like, you're not going to stop them. You're not going to stop him. You have to kind of stop him comparative to what we've seen. We can look at he can put up numbers in this game that are big time numbers, right? And then you can look and say, wow, you know, Auburn was in that game till the end, or maybe somehow Auburn won that game. Daniel still put up big numbers. I think that, you know, there isn't such a thing as stopping Jaden Daniels. He's just too talented. He's too good at what he does. You have to stop him from doing what he's done against Missouri and what he's done against some other teams. You know, the Arkansas game, 320 and four touchdowns. He moves the ball on the ground. He does it against everybody. That is how you can compete, is if you just slow him down. You're not going to stop him. I think people have that interpretation wrong of like, we've got to completely shut him down to where the numbers are just horrendous. I don't think you're going to see that. I think that you need to see this Auburn defense slow him while the offense holds their own.
What elements of the game are you saying will slow him down? I mean, that's a good point. Kind of this bend don't break. Where do they stop him? Do they stop him in the air? Do they stop him running the ball? Are we talking big sack plays, interceptions? Where do you think the key to stopping Daniels is?
If I was Coach Roberts trying to make a game plan for this, I would force – I'm a believer that his legs scare me more than his arms. He's proven he's accurate. There's no doubt to that. He's made some great throws this year. But I think that the – now, this is another question. Can you do this? He's only thrown two picks. So
– 19 touchdowns.
Yes. So he is throwing the football well. I'm just telling you, eyeball test from watching him, and if you disagree on this, let me know. But I think that if you, with the talented secondary Auburn has, I would try to stop him, get pressure on him, and not let him leave the pocket. If you can do that, force him to throw the ball downfield, hope your secondary, hope your corners and safeties win. If they don't win, you tip your cap. But here's the deal. When you have a guy like Daniels who is elite on the ground and throwing the football, you got to pick your poison. You know, you got to pick something to try and slow him in some way. The way I would do it is try and let your, because your options are, you know, we're gonna try and shut down the pass and let him run. I think that you're more talented, frankly, in the secondary than you are up front, to where the goal for me would be to kind of stop this team, stop LSU from forcing the ball downfield, make them try and run, stop them from trying to run the football, make them throw the ball. If you can do that, you rely on this front seven to maybe put together a good game, Keldrick Falk in there, like you said, then this secondary has an opportunity to have a game where they really break out and say, we shut down one of the best offenses of college football. That's the way I would go about it, just because I think your secondary, your secondary is much more talented than your front seven is. That's the way I'd go about it. But you're right. At the end of the day, I don't think there is a good way to go about it, because I don't think you can stop this offense.
So what's crazy here? So Auburn's leading receiver all time, Ronnie Daniels, in 1999, 1,068 yards over the whole season. Currently, as it stands, we're into six games. Neighbors has 771. So he is maybe a game or two away. I mean, easily, if it hopefully doesn't happen this weekend, but if he has a good game this weekend, thus far, which would be seventh game into the season, he would be an Auburn's top 10 single season receiving yards records of all time.
That's insane.
In seven games, he could literally crack Auburn's top 10 single season, which the benchmark to get there is more than 840 yards, 771. Mm-hmm. He could very realistically get that this weekend. Now, if he doesn't, that's great, because the secondary took him out of it, but that's a big play explosive guy. So just trying to put in perspective of how electric that this offense is, because I don't think people have been talking about it. If anybody watched the LSU-Mississippi State game, they were absolutely carving Mississippi State. Now, before anybody jumps my case on this, I'm not saying Auburn and Mississippi State's defense or anything about their teams are on the same level. I'm just saying that this team, they got the potential to do it, and they've been doing it all season long. So yeah, I agree. I think you got to lean on the strength there. I think you nailed that on the head. Auburn secondary most definitely has been a strength of the team, and that's what I think you've got to do to just best on best. Can you beat us here? Now, do I think their best may be better than Auburn's? Unfortunately, so that's not taking anything away from Auburn. This very easily could be the best offense they face all season, and might be one that goes down in SEC history if they continue at the pace that they're going. So it's just what you got to do. You got to line up the guys and say, hey, y'all there? Saw Keontae Scott send some cryptic tweets saying he's coming back soon. So the sooner the better he's back. I think that's the best case scenario for him. But really what I think it would take for any semblance of hope of this game is it's going to have to be turnovers rather than be interceptions or fumbles and not giving LSU any. That's kind of been the key to the formula for Auburn all season, is getting those turnovers. Whichever way you can get them, take them and get the short fields and capitalize. Offensively, the run is there. It's the only problem will be, will they sell out to stop everything about the run? And then if Peyton Thorne keeps playing like a deer in headlights, like he played at A&M, like he played at Cal, because we got to remember, this is a night game in Baton Rouge. He has not played great on the road. He's looked like a completely different quarterback on the road, and he's going into the toughest road environment he may potentially, you could argue, he may face his entire collegiate career. I mean, Baton Rouge, ain't no secret, that's not an easy place to play. And that's kind of going back to the theme here of what fans should realistically expect. And I know people were like, oh, you know, he kind of turned the page against Georgia and the lack of numbers weren't his fault. Da, 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 da. Yes, that was home Peyton Thorne. What is away Peyton Thorne going to look like? And he has not shown anything to give anybody to believe that this would be any different than what we've seen thus far. We hope he does, But I think people thinking that, oh, LSU's defense is bad, the light switch is going to come on for them. Because here's the thing about it. If an offense and a defense go against each other and the defense does nothing and the offense does nothing, you don't win the game. Because the defense can stand there and do nothing, but the offense still scores 0 points. Guess what? They got to do something. So that doesn't match up well for Auburn. Because really, does LSU's defense have to do anything grand? Or they can they just kind of sit there and coast by and count on Auburn to shoot themselves in the foot for one reason or another? Hadn't shown. I mean, Auburn's defense has been good. Don't get me wrong. But have they been world beater good? Are they going to do what they did to a very high powered offense like LSU in 2019? Well, you don't have Derrick Brown out there. You don't have Davidson. I mean, shoot, LSU had to hold him as much as they could to keep him from running all over him. I mean, they had to manhandle Derrick Brown to just keep themselves in that game. That's kind of where I'm at. I hate to be am I being unfair trying to tell people to tamper the expectations on that matchup? Is that a bad take?
I don't think you're being unfair, but I want to do an experiment.
Okay, let's go.
That's what we do. I'm going to convince you why there's no shot in holy hell Auburn wins this football game. And then you convince me why Auburn's going to win this game. You cool with that, or you want to switch roles?
I like that. That's a really good exercise. I think that'll be really good. It'd probably be good for my – I think like a therapist would recommend me to do that for how anti-Boog I've been all season.
There you go. Because I think that we are both not optimistic about this game. But I am really now listen, we all root for Auburn. We are all, you know what I mean? We are rooted, but at the end of the day, I got to be genuine in my thoughts on this team. I think a lot of fans are just a little bit blindsided by the excitement around this program, which listen, people should be excited. The future is going to be awesome soon. I mean, it's so soon, but this year I'm not a believer in this. Defense is great. Awesome. This defense is really good. Eugene Asante is awesome. But this offense is, I wish there was a bleep button, awful. But, I mean, is just incredibly awful. Jarquez Hunter, frankly, hasn't proven what – he's been fine. He's been fine. But he hasn't been – and correct me if I'm wrong on this – but he hasn't been – okay, let me ask you this question while I continue. Has Jarquez Hunter met your – I know he missed a game. Has he met your expectations to this point in the season for what you expected from this year's Jarquez Hunter with Tank Bigsby gone?
No, I generally thought – and maybe this was me booging too hard in the offseason. I legitimately thought Jarquez Hunter would be on pace to leave early to head to the NFL this season. And at the rate he's going, I don't see how that would make any sense unless the biggest turnaround ever happens with him. So, yeah, and people can look at advanced stats and averages and defend it. But, I mean, his longest run is 19 yards. There have been times he's been snuffed up, and I can't really think of a play that has just been clutch where it's gone to his hands and it's like, oh, thank goodness he had that ball. No one else was going to make that play. It's just been he's been feeding it. He's needing to do what he's needed to do. And he's been just – he hadn't been bad, but I don't think he's been world-beating either. I think it's just been he has just been a product of the fact that Auburn is just leaning very, very heavy into the run. It's as they should. They've got an incredibly deep and talented running back room. I think everybody in that room is exceeding expectations, minus Jarquez. And that's not taking anything away from him particularly. It's just because his were so high. But it hasn't been what I was hoping out of it for him. And like I said, maybe that's balanced because what I was hoping out of Jarquez is maybe – shifted to what Cobb, Batty especially, and then Damari before he got hurt were doing.
Yeah, so we share the same opinion then on Jarquez. So back to what I was getting at here with this, you know, once again, I'll say why they're going to lose. You say what you convince me they're going to win. Now, once again, I do want to preface this. I'm not drinking Haterade. This is an experiment. So people that are y'all listening, remember that it's an experiment. I'm being a big time hater right now. That there's a point to it. But so to really finish my side of this argument, I think the defense. I do. That's my one positive to the argument I'll make. I think the defense is going to have a good day. Mm-hmm. And when I say good day, I think you're going to look at the numbers and go ugh. but I think that it'll be a good day comparative to what some other teams have done against this LSU offense. On the offensive side of the football, I think unless, like you said, unless LSU turns the ball over two or three times and that sets up Auburn inside LSU territory two or three times, I think this team will move the football a little bit. Will they punch it in? You can't be kicking field goals in this game. You need to be – if you're on LSU side of the 50, you got to score touchdowns. I'm just not a believer. I'm not a believer in Peyton Thorne. I'll be brutally honest with you. I am quickly becoming anti-Peyton Thorne. I think the coaching staff, you know, Coach Freeze kind of said it, his whole, you know, we haven't set him up to succeed. I don't believe in any of that, frankly. I think Coach Freeze is – which I appreciate that. I think he's going to bat for his quarterback, which is awesome to see. But I've watched Peyton Thorne, and I know he's had some drops. He doesn't have the best receiver core. You can't put all of this on him. But at the end of the day, players make plays. You play with the cards you're dealt. And Peyton Thorne just frankly hasn't impressed me. And I don't think he's going to impress us on Saturday. I think Auburn fans are holding out hope. Like you said, this is the day. This LSU defense isn't great. This is the day Peyton Thorne is going to have this coming out party and be awesome. I don't see it happening. I think it's another day where he's meh, he's fine, whatever. Some receivers don't help him. And I think that Auburn's defense holds their own, but they lose this game. And frankly, I think LSU might cover the line here, so cover the spread here. So that's me being a hater. That I'm the Peyton Thorne stuff is genuine. That's not, I really am anti Peyton Thorne. If people, you know, and if you disagree with that, let me know. I mean, I'm cool with that's the point of this, but that's my reason. I want to be wrong. There is nothing more on this planet I would like to be wrong on what I just said, but that's just kind of thoughts going into it. So tell me why I'm a moron and why Auburn's going to win this football game. Convince me.
All right, so you were saying, I just want to recap this. You're saying this is going to really kind of come down to Peyton Thorne just not being able to do what he needs to do in a hostile environment. Mm-hmm. Him, the receivers, kind of everything on the offensive side, and the defense will be fine, but fine against an offense as electric as LSU, just not going to cut it. Is that kind of a recap?
That's where I'm at.
So let me just ask you this, and this can be a conversation if needed be for Sunday, so I don't want to get too far ahead of this. But if you think Peyton Thorne just has a horrendous showing this weekend, and that could be very broad, I don't want to talk too much into it. When do you think the conversation starts of, is he the guy moving forward, or they need to look elsewhere? When I say horrendous, I'm thinking very similar to how it was versus A&M, where it was like, hey, there's open guys I can clearly see, but you can't, and you're not getting the ball to them.
Yeah, now this is one thing that Zach talks a lot about, but is, you know, where in the progression are those open guys? Because you're right. I watched the tape back. You see these guys running open. Where are they in the progression? That's stuff we'll never know. You know, we'll never understand that. It's the quarterback's job, but is he supposed to look at four guys? Is he only supposed to look at two? We don't know any of that. But you're right. From the eye test as fans, you look and you see guys running open. We all see it. But I don't think Peyton Thorne is the answer. I think, and now, are the other two guys on the bench the answer? I don't think so. I think I'm kind of in the camp, and I'm just, you know, it's like that little, the meme where the guy holds the sign laying in bed, and it's just a picture of Walker White. That's me right now. Just getting excited for that in the future.
It could be a 2012 situation where you play them all, and it just, bad, worse, and worser kind of deal where maybe nobody is ready to be that guy. And that may be it. And I guess I'm just wondering where, and like I said, we can have this conversation if it needs to come. Is there a point to where, okay, the floor and the ceiling are just so close together, we're going to have to just try somebody else. Maybe it's better, maybe it's not, but we can't continue with this. And we'll see how it looks. Because, you know, you look at it, you got the angel and devil on your shoulder. One side, you're looking at it and say, this is probably one of the worst defenses you're going to face in the SEC all year. This is going to be the guys to get right on. But then the other one is like, this is an away game in Baton Rouge. That's a really hard place to play. And it depends on who you want to listen to there. I'm not going to say I've got the answer to that. I think we'll discuss that more need be. But to get back on track with me convincing you why Auburn will win this game, so going back to Zach's original tweet here, I want to base some of this on, is there was a lot of people that really think this is going to be a high-scoring game. that was a pretty common trend through what people were saying here. Oh, you know, Auburn 30, you know, Auburn 40, Auburn high 20s, whatever. If Auburn is going to win this game against LSU, they're going to have to keep it a low-scoring game. You're going to have to count on the fact that, because if you keep it a low-scoring game, that means you're doing something to stop Daniels. Whether you're doing it or he's doing it, he's having an off night. That's good for Auburn. If this is a high-scoring game, the odds are definitely not in Auburn's favor across the board, because that means their offense is going off and your defense isn't stopping them. And then if you got to get points up there, do you really think your offense is going to keep up? Don't think so. So Auburn wins the time of possession. I'm giving the hypothetical here. They come out, they control the ball, they run it effectively on the ground, and they get long, sustained 10 to 15 plus play drives that just eat up clock and frustrate LSU. They're not getting big plays. They're getting chip plays. They're just chipping, chipping, chipping. The crowd gets bored. The crowd's not into it. The offense comes out. Maybe Auburn gets lucky, stops them with some three and outs, gets a little pass rush established. Really got to get some turnovers in there. Bank on some mistakes. The offense also is coming out and they're airing the ball. Maybe not necessarily deep bombs out there, just little screen passes, little chip plays that are getting 3 to 6 or 7 yards. Just those little quick intermediate throws, tackle, guy runs out, whatever. Just extending the time of the drives. And then eventually, I think you got to catch them sleeping, thinking that you're going to be establishing that ball on the ground and do what you did last year and just hit them with a deep bomb that keeps them honest. Maybe two of those. Get some points early. Get 14 to 17 points before half. Keep it within a touchdown of LSU. Win that time of possession significantly. Keep the crowd out of the game. That's what you're going to have to do. I agree with you 100%. You got to keep them. You can't be kicking field goals. And I think Hugh Freeze even said it. Make LSU kick field goals. And I hate to say there's going to have to be some luck involved here, but I really think there are. I think LSU is going to be driving down the field, and you got to hope that they shoot themselves in the foot, maybe some false starts, maybe they get a holding penalty, just do something stupid that kind of kills their own momentum so they can't get rolling. And then just the defense is going to have to play that near perfect game. But if you can control that, you can control the time of possession, you keep it low scoring, and you just keep it to where it's just running, rolling through the mud. Think of those Smash Mouth, Tuberville era, old school LSU games that folks remember. And I mean, even 2019 was kind of like that as well. Do that, they got a chance. You coming off a bye week, maybe some guys get healthy, and then maybe the light comes on with Peyton Thorne to where I'm not going to go out and say, oh, this is Peyton Thorne's coming out party, because I think all things we've seen, that's a sunshine pump. But I think if Peyton Thorne can kind of grow into this game manager type role to where he actually shows what all those years of experience have done and he doesn't get scared of the moment and can just do what he needs to be and be effective and efficient and stick with the solid game plan that they've had 2 weeks to do, Auburn can win this game. All right, how'd I do?
You know, I think you do. You make some points that we've been floating around, and you talked me into it a little bit. My one.
I didn't talk myself into it. I'll just say that.
you didn't.
Well, you no. That was my score. My score prediction, I think, was, I mean, it was like 13 to 30 something. It was 13 to 30. I forget exactly what it was. It was 13 to 30 something. It was a 20 plus point LSU win for me.
You did talk me into the two things that you talked me into. Do I think Auburn wins this game? No. But what I do agree on is I think that, I'm gonna push back. I want to hear your thoughts on it. I agree with you on the winning this time of possession battle. Mm-hmm. I agree with you on that. I think it's a great point. Shorten the game. I'm with you on all that. I agree with you on creating some turnovers would be massive in this game and would be the one thing that could really help you hang around. But my one pushback to that would be this. I think that shorten the game. Okay, cool. Agree with you. Close your eyes. Yep. Okay. Open them. LSU just scored. You know what I mean? I think it's they can score like that. I think that they can have the ball for 3 minutes and score 4 touchdowns. Like the time of possession could be 57-3, and they could score 28 points and win the game. Genuinely, like that's my thought there. It's just you're right in what you're saying. I think that is how you win this game. But I just think that even if you win a time of possession battle, they can just score so quick that it might not matter. You there?
Oh, I hear you.
What just happened?
I think we had some internet freeze. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, we're back. Technical problems. The video is not refreshing for me. Is it still recording on your end?
Yeah, it's recording. I'm moving, but you're frozen.
Okay. Well, if my audio is going through, we're just going to see how much we can get here. Mm-hmm. One thing, I did miss some of the end parts that you said there, but I'm going to say one thing Auburn would have to do is they are going to have to really, really fix their third down situation. Mm. I mean, you got to be well over 50% of your third downs. We can't be doing any of this 2-12 business anymore.
Yeah,
which I think that's a no duh, it's a given. But yeah, I think it's going to be won and lost on third down. That'd be another thing. Get LSU in the third and longs and have a pot. Convert more third downs than LSU does. Auburn's got a great chance on this one.
All right, let me ask you one more question before we call it a day.
Yep.
So this was me and my dad had this conversation. Mm-hmm. Dad's big, obviously, my dad's a big Auburn fan, huge Auburn fan, Auburn grad. And we were having this conversation. He is a believer, and I'm with him a little bit on this. A lot of people have been having the conversation, if you move off of Peyton, if this week doesn't go well and you move past Peyton, it seems like a lot of people have kind of skipped to, all right, it's the Holden show. Me personally, I would like to see what Robbie can do with a game plan for Robbie Ashford to go out there and play football and quarterback this team. I'd like to see that if Peyton Thorne isn't the answer, and we find that out this week, I would like for it to be the Robbie Ashford show, at least for one game before it is the Holden Gurner show. Where do you sit there? Where do you live there?
Yeah, I think you got to give Robbie a chance healthy. And when I say that is I think a lot of people really, really underestimate the fact. And I don't think people appreciate the fact that Robbie was very, very banged up last year. And despite how banged up he was, despite how bad everything was with the staff, he still played through it with a smile on his face. And I don't get the flack he catches. Are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Oh, my feed showed back up. My face is gone. Anyway, if it's still rolling. Oh, maybe I'm popping back up. Okay. Weird technical things. Anyway, back to it though. Robbie deserves for just being the guy who really just had to take the bullet for how bad the Harsin situation was. I don't think that's fair that people give him so much flack for that. Cause it was like, he was the guy that really stepped up in one of the worst situations Auburn's been in just from a football program short-term deal. And I applaud Robbie for that. I applaud everybody on the team. I applaud Cadillac, Ike Hilliard, Wilfriend, all those guys. They were dealt a plate of rotten meat, and they found a way to carve it off and make some semblance of a meal. It was a 5-win season. It wasn't great. They got through it. They were set up for absolute failure from the very, very start of that thing. And I think a lot of people really want to hold that over Robbie. I think there is a lot of potential there, but I also can see how it may not be there. I think he's one of those guys where you got to put him in the game and you just got to see what he's going to do, but you got to let him sink or swim. You got to call his name to pass that ball and really see how good that arm is. But understand, he's not been getting those one team reps. The receivers aren't there and it may not look good at first. You got to kind of feed it and see if it's going to click. And if it starts clicking, that's great. You may really, really see something with them. And if it doesn't, well, you know for sure. And then you figure it out from there. You do what needs to get done. But I don't like the fact that people are just writing it off one way or another. And the same deal goes with Holden. We don't necessarily know if he'll click or not. And maybe none of them will. We just don't know. And I hate how polarizing quarterback conversation gets of, oh, if you support this guy, you hate this guy. I'm very much have and always will be under, I want the best guy. I don't really care who it is. And that's how it always should be. If it's not Peyton, I'm not necessarily, it needs to be Robbie. I'm not necessarily, it could be Holden. Just, I want the best guy out there. And if it is Peyton and Peyton's best is actually really bad, but it's still slightly better than the other two, well then, hey, it's Peyton all the way till you get another guy next year. That's just going to be the nature of the beast. So I'll just say one thing to close this out for everybody is kind of one school of thought, just kind of keeping it wrapped up with expectations and what it could and should look like. The key to this game, very much so, is going to be how does Auburn look and does Auburn improve? I don't think Auburn wins this one. Now, if they do, hallelujah. Statistically speaking, it's not looking that great for Auburn. So what I would say, what you really want to see, and Andrew, I think you'll probably agree with me on this, is improvement on things Auburn has struggled with. And did they really take some things from that bye week and build from it? It may not translate great. So here, just a fun deal. The matchup predictor on ESPN, their analytics says it is a 76% chance LSU wins this game. So 25% chance, or excuse me, 24% chance, not looking great for Auburn.
Yeah.
But how can you still come away with this with a victory? I would encourage everybody not to get too sunshine pumpy about the defense offense matchup deal. But I would say if you see improvement out of Peyton, you see improvement out of the wide receivers, and the bar's low. Get over 100 yards passing.
Yeah.
Get over 60% passing against a non-cupcake game. It's not asking a lot. It really isn't. But if they can do it, then, hey, maybe you feel pretty good about going into Ole Miss. Defensively, I don't think the defense has to prove anything to anybody. You know, I get ugly for them. I think the best thing you could hope for offensively, minus everybody just staying healthy, or if guys that have been come in and banged up and start playing well again, I think you got to circle what Keldrick Falk's going to do. If he can come out there and really start dominating into what his role is going to be, I think that's going to be the biggest storyline to circle on the defense of saying, hey, we got something moving forward. All this is going to be is gaining that positive momentum through the end of the season. Because we knew the middle of the schedule was always going to be rough for Auburn. That was no secret. And it's like getting a shot. Like you hype yourself, if you don't like shots, like you hype yourself up, like, oh, it's not going to be bad. It's going to be different. Then the second you see that needle, just all that goes to the wind and you're just, this is awful. I think it's the same way. Like we told ourselves, we're not beating Georgia. We're probably not beating A&M. We're not beating LSU. It's like you could tell yourself that all year, but then the second it happens, the world is falling. Or excuse me, the sky is falling. And then same deal with Ole Miss. It's ranked 13, the top 15 team. There could be four in a row that you win. But if you can get through that with positive momentum, with improvement stacking week over week, regardless of win of loss, then you have some momentum. You can roll into Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, and Arkansas, take care of business. You gotta get right game with New Mexico State, and then who knows? Do you got enough there to play a scrappy game with Alabama and maybe end the season with a bang? And that's also not to go to say that Auburn couldn't get right enough to this game to catch Ole Miss at home sleeping. We don't necessarily know, but that is, I think, the biggest takeaway of what folks should hope to expect. And don't see it as a win-loss, but see it as an improvement on struggles.
My last statement I want to make, and it's pretty much coming off of what you just said. In essence, it's kind of the same thing, but I want to hit home my thought on it, is that I'm not a believer in moral victories. You and I talked about that before we started recording, and we agree on that. Not here talking about moral victories. I can leave this football game happy. You weren't supposed to win these four, A&M, the A&M, Georgia, LSU, and Ole Miss. You were not supposed to win those games. Now, did people hope they might steal one? Yes. If that doesn't happen, whatever. What I want to see on Saturday is simple as this. I want to see Peyton throw into the football well.
Yep.
If you lose, I don't care if you lose by 70 points. That's the thing for me, because it isn't a moral victory. I don't care if you lose 70-0. I don't. Well, if he throws the football, you probably won't score 0 points. But
right.
Point is, I want to see him look good throwing the football, make good decisions. He's had receivers open. That one where Jay Fair was open, I think it was against A&M, where he was open and Peyton missed him.
I
want that one back.
Yeah.
The point is,
and that could have been the difference of that game too.
Yeah. If you make some good throws, if Peyton Thorne makes some good throws, receivers are open, he finds them, he makes some good throws where we leave this game going, huh, maybe this guy can do it, then I will leave this game happy. That is all I want to see in this game. And it's not a moral victory, but I could leave that game knowing, okay, maybe this guy can do it in the games that we can potentially win against Vandy and Mississippi State and then Arkansas and New Mexico, of course. And then you do that, like you said, here comes Alabama in a game that's always weird. Can you steal an Iron Bowl? That's what I want to see on Saturday, and I'll leave this game somewhat happy.
Yeah, and that's, I think that is the perfect synopsis there, and I think the difference between improvement and moral victories are two separate things. I think we've already kind of said what improvements look like, getting better, fixing the struggles. And here's what a moral, we'll use LSU as an example here. Here's what a moral victory is and why moral victories don't really compound anything. In 2012, Auburn, one of the worst teams and performances of Auburn football in modern history, Auburn in modern football history. LSU was coming off of a national championship appearance. They played them in the fourth game of the season in 2012, and they kept that game to 12-10. Okay, that was a week after you just had to go to overtime to beat Louisiana Monroe, to put things in perspective for those that try to forget 2012. People, and I remember, I was a student at the time, I was at that game, you kind of pricked your eyes up and said, huh, all right, maybe, I mean, shoot, that was an incredibly, that was a number two ranked LSU team, and we kept that within 2 points. Well, you go and lose to Arkansas 24-7, Ole Miss 41-20, and it just gets bloodier and bloodier as the rest of the schedule goes down. So yes, that was a moral victory. You felt good about something, but you really had nothing that actually built upon that you were going to be any better than what you ended up being. So just want to kind of clarify the difference between that for the listeners to know, hey, what you want to look for. And you could have a 3-point game that actually makes you feel good because it was close, but not see any of the intangible chains. Or you could, as you said, you could be blown out by 70 points and see things that needed to get better, actually get better and build upon to say, okay, we might actually have something going forward. And the score does not always dictate that. There's just a little bit deeper. You got to look into that. And guess what? That's what we're going to talk about Sunday when we come back. That will be the next episode of the Auburn Daily Podcast, which will also be on YouTube then as well. We will jump back in and recap how that game turned out with LSU and see just exactly what points of this episode that we get to reference for what we were right and or wrong about. I want to thank Andrew for jumping on. Make sure to check him out on Twitter at Andrew Stefaniak. And of course, check out his work at auburndaily.com. As you can find me on Twitter at Auburn Memes. If you got anything on this episode that you agreed with, disagreed with, want to get the conversation going, shoot Andrew and or I a DM. Bring it up with us. Let us know if you agreed or disagreed. And of course, if you have any questions that you want us to bring up on the episode, shoot us a DM there and we will talk about them. Make sure to review the podcast. Give us 5 stars. Tell us what you liked. And then if you haven't already, subscribe to the YouTube channel. That is going to wrap us all up for today. We want to thank you guys for listening.